Welcome back, everybody, to Championship Week Video Notebook here at Hoops HD. It is day number 11, 12, 12,
I think
day
it's
number
12,
12.
Tage. Well, yeah.
Wow. Then we're done, aren't we? I mean, there's only 7 days in a week. And
well, not in championship weeks. There's 13 because you start on a Monday and you end on a Sunday.
13 days.
Yeah, in a week. It's one of the longer days of the year. It really is like a solar calendar like oddity.
Okay. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs. I think everybody else fell asleep on us tonight, so they can just watch because I'm not it's ridiculously late, but all the games just finished up for the evening. We've got a lot to get to tonight, so I don't even know where to begin. Maybe we could find some screens here. Griggs, are you still in the puppet bunker?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very late.
News and notes. News and notes. That's what we got to start with. News and notes. Some coaching news here. Let's see. Quanzo Martin out of Missouri. David Cox out at Rhode Island. Joe Dooley out at East Carolina. There's your coaching news. Kirk Creasa, the player for Arizona that got injured the other night, obviously didn't play tonight. He was on crutches in a boot today. They're saying he's very questionable for the first round of the NCAA tournament, even the first weekend next week. So that is a huge blow to the Wildcats, quite honestly.
Yeah, you hate that for their team. You hate that for him personally. You hate it for any player that gets injured at any time, but you especially hate it for someone that's been there that long, that's that much of a marquee player. And you know, the showcase and the excitement of the NCAA tournament to not get to take part in it. Hopefully he will be able to play, if not in the first round, in the second round and the later rounds. I'd hate for him to miss it altogether, but we certainly wish him a speedy recovery.
Let's get to the action on the court today. We've got a lot to get through and some stuff to preview for tomorrow as well. Let's start in the ACC though. It was semifinal day where we had Duke versus Miami and Vatek versus North Carolina. And Griggs, let's start with the Duke-Miami game. This was a very close, very good game the whole way.
It really was. I like this Miami team, as you know, from being on the Hoops HD report and on the mock committee today. I like them, I think, more than the rest of our group. But I know they didn't get the win today, and it didn't help their profile. But I do think that they showed what they're capable of. They won it, Duke, this year. They really stepped up on them the night. They were in a position to win it. They just didn't do it. This team clearly, to me, belongs in the NCAA tournament. I will be disappointed if the committee does not select them. I think it would be a crime, really. And, Duke gets the win and Duke moves on. Not that they needed it, but cruising to a protected seed and got it no matter what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, and then the surprise, Virginia Tech, who we didn't even know if they were going to get by Clemson. They almost lost to Clemson in the second round. Then pull off the upsets of Notre Dame. And tonight, they just absolutely manhandled North Carolina. This Vatek team, I gotta go over here to their profile if we can find the right screen. There it is. That is not the right screen. That is not the right screen. Here we go.
What is that? That's not. Oh, there it is.
There we go. Here comes the screen. So I wasn't quite set up. I was set up, and then the darn Mountain West game took forever, and now I got all the cards. This Virginia Tech team now, all of a sudden, they beat North Carolina tonight, blow them out. Griggs, this team. If they don't beat Duke tomorrow, you look at that 33 net, you look at 22 overall wins. They now have 14 wins against the ACC. If you include the conference tournament wins, I think they might be in. I don't like it.
I think they will be too. I mean, there certainly are some categorical benchmarks. And I know I always say you can't think categorically, but I'm going to evaluate them categorically. They hit the benchmarks of the net. It's in the 30s. Typically when you're there, you're in. They have the nice wins away from home against North Carolina, Miami, Notre Dame, also bubblish at Maryland, not too spectacular there, but there's a lot of there. And I think that when you're comparing it to the rest of the bubble, which is, you're not going to see a lot of teams with profiles that are substantially better than this one. At no point in this year during this season did I really ever think Tech belonged in or would make it in. I agree with you, Chad. I'm not saying they're a lock, but if you're asking me right now, do you think they'll make it or not? I think they will. Our selection committee guessing expert, John Tytel, not here tonight. He probably went to bed. I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what his bracket looks like tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, Virginia Tech can make it a moot point if they beat Duke tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the way they're playing and the way Duke has actually struggled in their first two games, I wouldn't be shocked if Tech won this game right now. I really wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't either. And North Carolina, a solid tournament team, Virginia Tech blew them out. It wouldn't shock me at all if they won tomorrow.
It was also semifinal day in the Big East tournament, where
yes.
It began with another blowout of surprising one, where Creighton just completely destroyed Providence, and then a very good game between Villanova and UConn, where Villanova finds a way to win, Griggs.
Yeah. Providence was big all year. They led the nation in probably exciting games and close wins, and they beat some really good teams. I know our friend and Lee Delvecchio has been very critical of them. And when you look at them in this tournament, sweating out a Butler team that's nowhere near the NIT, I don't think, and then getting blown to pieces by a Creighton team who played well but is dealing with injuries – how far does this team go? It looked like they were going to walk to the Sweet 16. Now, maybe not. Maybe there are some alarm bells. What do you make of this?
Well, I'll tell you, I think maybe because the game more is Creighton. Creighton was a team that when they lost Nembhard, we thought they were done. They beat UConn in the regular season without Nembhard. They picked up another win, I believe. They beat Marquette, who was a pretty good team. Now what they did to Providence, I don't think you can ding them one bit for missing Nembhard.
No, you know you can't.
I don't know that I take away from what all the good Providence did just for having one bad game today either, though. I think they're still probably looking at the four line is my guess.
Oh, I absolutely think that their seed is a protected seed. Yeah. What I was speculating on is how far are they going to go once they get that protected seed.
I bet they'll make it to the first round.
There you go.
Villanova beats UConn, though, in the evening, a real close, good game. But that sets up this Villanova-Creighton game tomorrow. Not much on the line. I guess they have a Creighton could still improve their seed with a win.
Yeah, I really think they could. Villanova, lots on the line here for them, too. Finally trying to get that elusive Big East championship that this program can't ever seem to get. It was the
Big 12 semifinal day today, and start with Kansas, who really wasn't even as close as that 13-point margin against TCU. TCU tried to make a big run in the second half, but then Kansas just put their foot down, and that was the end of that one. Oklahoma-Texas Tech, though. Texas Tech was up big. Oklahoma came back in this one and really had a shot. Had a shot at a free throw to tie it. Misses. Ball goes crazy. They somehow come up with it. They get another shot. It looked like actually Texas Tech recovered a wild loose ball there and traveled before the clock ran out, but the officials didn't even go back for review. It was a crazy ending, but at the end of the day, it goes in the book as a 1-point Texas Tech win. And I think you saw I had that profile up. Let me put it back up here. This Oklahoma team got red hot here, got the win over Baylor, but 18-15, Griggs, are they in or are they out?
It's close. Now, if you're asking me if I think they belong in and whether or not I am going to argue for them, I will. Because, again, that categorical like benchmark of 15 losses is normally a disqualifier. But if you toss that aside, which you always should, Baylor, Kansas, Texas Tech, six of those losses, Auburn, seven, Texas, eight, half their losses are to protected seeds or thereabouts. And a lot of those are on the road. And to me, those aren't setbacks. Like I know to lose eight of them is a lot, but I just don't think that that's anything that you can really hold it against them. And when you look at the good on their resume, you know, the win against Baylor yesterday on a neutral floor, Arkansas neutral floor, K-State, who I know isn't in the tournament, but was pretty tough at home. I just think that there's more reasons to take them than not, especially when you compare them to the rest of the bubble. Now, will the real committee take them? No idea. John Tytel is in bed.
I think it's gonna be real close. I think this is one of those teams that's gonna come right down to it. Are they going to Dayton? Are they going to the NIT?
Right.
And just because of the win yesterday over Baylor, they wouldn't have even been in this discussion other than that.
And yeah, and still they were out, but to play two protest state seeds on a neutral floor and beat one of them, that's a pretty good, that's a net gain. Had they won the day, I think I would have been surprised at the committee not taking them had they won the day.
Kansas, Texas Tech tomorrow. Obviously, not much on the line here. Although,
Not a, yeah.
I mean, there is an argument here. Texas Tech fans want to be in Fort Worth for the first 2 rounds.
Yeah.
They are looking like they could, if they win this game tomorrow, they maybe end up on the 2 line. It's going to be pretty close.
Yes.
The problem is that I think Kansas and Baylor are still both ahead of them on the seed line, and both would be favored to go to Fort Worth, which would send Texas Tech likely to San Diego. A win here,
San
though.
Diego. Oh, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Texas Tech's first 2 games will be in San Diego if they can't go to Fort Worth.
Yeah. And
Well, here's the thing though. Texas Tech, if they win tomorrow, will have at that point they would have only one loss combined in 5 games against Kansas and Baylor. So there is an argument that maybe Tech should be above one of those teams on the seed list. So it is interesting. I think that Texas Tech is still going to end up below both of those teams, though.
It's hard to say, but that argument could be made. You and I had a really interesting, at least I thought it was interesting discussion today about what they would do with Kansas, even if they're ahead of them. The protocol, as you pointed out, says that they go down the seed list 1, 2, 3, 4, and when your number is up, you get sent to the closest city, no matter where it is, and no matter how far away someone below you has to go. Men's basketball has done it that way before, but the way most other NCAA sports work is that the directive, not really the directive, but the guideline is to get as many as you can
But
within 400
you're
miles.
not talking the money sports like
Yeah.
basketball is. And so I think in
Right.
college, if this was not Hoops HD, but this was
You know, soccer or
women's bowling
volleyball
HD,
or bowl. Yeah.
riflery HD, that would apply. And absolutely, I think
Yeah.
Texas Tech would find a way to go be in Fort Worth.
Right. And
This in basketball, I don't think they go there unless
yes.
somehow they end up above either Kansas or
Yeah.
Baylor on a seed
Now,
list.
there have been years where it looked like they did that. If a team was not within 400 miles, even if they were higher on the seed list, they sent them somewhere else to get a team closer. But you had basically confirmed today that that is not how we believe this committee will do it. I put Tytel's seedless into a bracket, and I was doing it with the 400 miles in mind and was sending Kansas to Indianapolis, which is further than Fort Worth. But neither one are within
And
400 miles. Yeah.
also further than Milwaukee, which so if you're going to do that, I
Yeah.
would have sent it to Milwaukee anyhow. So
Right. Yeah.
you were wrong several times there. Okay.
But Wisconsin needs to go to Milwaukee.
Pac-12, David.
And Purdue needs to go.
Arizona took care of Colorado. Really wasn't as close as the 10-point finish. UCLA also beat USC by 10 points. I don't think it was as close as that finish. This both
Yeah.
teams kind of cruised today to set up a Arizona UCLA final. What are your thoughts on this game tomorrow?
Fine. I think Arizona a little shorthanded. It'll be interesting to see what they do without it. I think Arizona has the one seed locked up, regardless of what happens. They were the first place team. They've already played and beaten UCLA. I don't think repeating that moves them up, and I don't think not beating them moves them down when they've already done it. I think both teams, UCLA will move up a little bit with a win, but I don't think a loss knocks Arizona down, and I don't think a loss knocks UCLA down either.
Well, Arizona with a loss could be in danger of falling off the 1 line if other teams move up above them. I'm talking that Kansas does win. I'm talking Kentucky wins the SEC. There could be a way that Arizona could come down. Whereas if they win, I think they're a lock on the 1 line no matter what.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's not that Arizona would actually fall down for losing the game. It's that there's room for other teams to pass them. That's Mountain West. It was semifinal day today. First of all, Boise State, Wyoming. Boise State was able to hold them off, and then the late game here, San Diego State. Let's get the score in here right now. It was a
Yeah.
63-58 win over Colorado State. So San Diego State does move on to play Boise in the championship there.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on these games, and I think maybe the story here is Wyoming. Are they on the bubble, or are they going to be out here?
They are on the bubble. I think they're on the right side of it. They're going to
Okay,
be a
great.
little bit squeamish, but I would be surprised if they weren't selected. Honestly, I just think that they've done enough, and it feels like the kind of team the committee would select. I would ask Ty Tell, but he's in bed. I think another story is San Diego State, how much they've improved their resume really in the last couple weeks, and especially, and they're continuing to do that in a big way in this tournament.
Yeah, and tomorrow this game against Boise State, not much on the line. I would note that this is, I believe, their sixth straight or fifth straight Mountain West Championship game for San Diego State. They always make this finals every year, and they've got a shot again here against Boise. I don't think, I'm picking the Aztecs to win this thing. Why not?
I agree. I think they will beat them. I like this Boise team a lot. I just think San Diego State is playing really well right now, and that's who I'd pick.
Let's go to some of the under the radar conferences. Big Sky, it was semifinal day. Montana State got all they could take and more, really, from Weber State and somehow found a way to win. Northern Colorado was close most of the way. They pulled away just at the very end, though.
Yeah, that Weber Montana game, great, or Montana State game, great game. It was close all throughout with Weber having a lead through much of it. For at least the first half of the year, we thought Weber State was the strongest team in this league. They showed why today, but after having some dips and slumps during the regular season, but Montana State continues their march. I'd kind of like to see them do it. They were one of the more exciting teams to watch. I think nothing against Northern Colorado. They've played well too. I think Montana State actually has an easier time tomorrow than they did today.
I agree, and I think Montana State is going to win this as well. Big West,
Great day in
this was
the
well.
Big
First of all, Cal State Fullerton in the late game there did hold off Hawaii. They kind of held them at bay the whole game, but Long
West.
Beach State Santa Barbara, a heck of a game that came down to a Jane Jones shot at the buzzer, the buzzer beater win of the day. That he was actually had a guy in his face too. It was not an easy shot, but it went in, and Long Beach somehow survives and advances to play Fullerton in the finals.
And Santa Barbara had a lead for much of this game, and it looked like after having a really disappointing season, after we had a lot of high expectations for them, it looked like finally in the latter part of the season they had pulled it together, and I thought they were going to win this tournament. They led for much of the game, but Beach kept it close and then tied it, and then I believe it was 0.9 or was it 1.3 seconds, somehow ran an inbounds play, got a shot up, and it went in.
Okay. But yes, we've got Long Beach and Fullerton. I'm sick with my original pick, though. I'm going with Fullerton to win this game tomorrow. I think
I'm
that they
going with the
pull it.
beach. I just think they take that momentum in from yesterday. And Fullerton in Hawaii was a bit of a rock fight. Not that that has any bearing on what tomorrow's game is going to look like, but I think despite Santa Barbara being a five seed, they were probably playing at the highest level of anyone else in the tournament. And for Beach to get by that one, I think they win tomorrow.
It was, let's go to the conference that we've all, everyone who's been watching the show has been waiting for us to talk about. It was Conference USA. There was no curtain in between the games, but we had a pair of amazingly contrasting games. The bottom game I'm going to start with here, with the North Texas Louisiana Tech game. North Texas jumped out to a 10-2 lead here early on in the game. At halftime, Louisiana Tech was up 21-13. The final score ended up being 42-36, Louisiana Tech winning this as they held off a late rally by North Texas. 78 points scored in this game was the low total points on the entire season in all of college basketball. This was a pathetically bad, ugly, disgusting game, excuse for a game. And North Texas, who we really liked, is now going to have a very outside shot, I think, at an at-large bid, but probably heading to the NIT. Your thoughts, first of all, on this game.
I almost don't know what to think. And you can't say that they weren't ready or that they were overlooking it. These are two teams that had looked very good at many parts of the year. And who would have thought that they would have come on and put on a show like that? But They did. And North Texas, as you mentioned, jumped out to the big lead. So it wasn't like they were sleepwalking or overlooking them. The first few minutes they were dialed in, and then they just went impotent. They couldn't do anything for really the final 38 minutes of the game.
Now, if that wasn't one story, the second game, which is the one up top there, the UAB Middle Tennessee game, what an incredible game here. We had back and forth shots at the very end of regulation to force overtime, and then a second overtime, then a third overtime. Finally, a third overtime, actually, UAB just started nailing the threes. Jordan Walker ended up with 40 points on the game for the Blazers. And Andy Kennedy's Blazers find a way to win this game in triple overtime, 102-98. Little contrast in scores versus 42-36. They go on to play La Tech tomorrow. Grazie, your thoughts on this game tomorrow?
Well, depth, as like we've been mentioning for the past month or so, has been an issue with UAB, particularly in settings where they're playing the two games in 3 days, really struggling in that second game in the CUSA scheduling format. And we just didn't think that they had enough juice to do well in this tournament, even though they are a really good team. After playing yesterday late and then playing rather
Triple
early
overtime.
today and going the triple overtime, they looked pretty fresh. They have, again,
I don't think they're going to have anything left. I think Louisiana Tech is going to win this by 15, 20 points tomorrow.
I don't know what to. I kind of got a. It's just a gut feeling. I think UAB, they looked so much better today than La Tech did. It was just so much more palatable that. I got to pick UAB.
I'm going La
It's
Tech.
not a
All right.
smart pick, but yeah.
Metro Atlantic, it was the semifinal day. This surprising conference, which had both the 9 and the 11 seeds in the semifinals. However, it was Monmouth that was able to win a close, tight game, and St. Peter's,
Very
who
close.
kind of. St. Peter's, the Quinnipiac St. Peter's game was pretty close most of the way as well. St. Peter's pulled away late. Now we got an all Jersey battle here between St. Peter's and Monmouth taking place in Atlantic City, Griggs. I'm on the Peacocks on this game. Which way are you going?
Well, I picked Monmouth to win at the start of this, and I'd feel kind of silly abandoning them now. I'm going to go with Monmouth, but it should be a really good game. Lots on the line here.
Mid-American Conference, it was also semifinal day, and we had Akron, who got off to a big lead. Kent State also got off a big lead. Both Toledo and Ohio made huge comebacks in these games to fight back in them. But at the end, both Akron and Kent State were able to survive. And we got the wagon wheel tomorrow for the
We do.
championship.
And selfishly, not, I mean, I was kind of pulling for Toledo because they were the first place team. I know that was a really exciting year for them. I can't even remember the last time they made the NCAA
It's
tournament,
been
but
like since it's been about 30 plus years since they made the NCAA tournament, back to back conference regular season championships, and they can't get into the
Yeah, I
NCAA
can't
this
get through
time
the
this year.
tournament, so I know how bad this one hurts for the Rocket. It just smarts. But the other piece of me is happy whenever you have a wagon wheel game. How great is that? And you might recall how the last one ended up in Akron with Kent State leaving the floor, thanking the fans for their wonderful hospitality.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an ugly scene, actually. It could have gotten ugly. It did not get ugly, thankfully, but it could have gotten ugly.
Yeah, he
I
could
hope
have.
there aren't I hope it does not get ugly tomorrow.
Yeah, but oh my God, this building, it's in Cleveland. It's in the G this I'm almost more excited about this than I am of anything that's happening tomorrow. It is going to be right rocking.
MEAC, it was semifinal day. I picked a pair of upsets to happen. I was not right about Morgan State, Norfolk State. Norfolk State kind of, it was close for a while, but they pulled away late. I
Yeah.
was, however, right about Coppin State. Juan
You
Dixon's
were
team
one.
found a way. They held off a late run by NC Central, and they are on to the championship game against Norfolk State, 1 o'clock p.m. ESPN2 tomorrow.
It appears to be a big mismatch, and it could end up that way, but there's just you kind of get the feeling that it's not gonna be.
I'm riding the Juan Dixon train. I got Coppin State winning this.
Really? Okay. I'm going to stick with Norfolk again. I picked them to win all the way through. They got through that elusive quarterfinal game. It's in
But
their home
we're gonna
city.
get we're gonna go through this whole show without agreeing on a single game, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah.
Let's go to
I mean,
Southland.
you're wrong about all of them.
Southland, which we saw the top seed Nicholls
Yeah.
State fall tonight. To
Yeah.
they tried to fight back late. They were down most of this way. They did not have enough. Southeastern Louisiana then beat New Orleans. We got Corpus Christi and Southeastern Louisiana tomorrow. Southeastern Louisiana won the Southland tip-off in-season tournament. They're trying to go
Do the
perfect
double.
and do the double and win two conference tournaments in the same season. What do you think about tomorrow's game?
They could very easily do it. I picked Corpus Christi to win this at the start of it, so I feel like I have to pick them again tomorrow since I picked them at the start. But it's a toss-up. It could go either way. Katy, Texas is just on lockdown right now. That's how jacked they are for this.
Southeastern
The
Louisiana has
commissioner
not.
isn't even there. It's just too lit.
Southeastern Louisiana has not lost a conference tournament game all season, and this is they've played more than just the one that they played today. I'm going with the Lions. I think they keep it rolling. They know how to win. They are undefeated in Katy. They are now 4-0 in Katy. They're going to make it 5-0.
You could be right.
SWAC. We have. This was a conference that has had so many close games already. Unfortunately, the first game, which is the bottom one there, Texas Southern Grambling, was not very close, Griggs.
Yeah, Texas Southern just blew their doors off. Alabama A&M in the second game here, really hung with Alcorn State. Alabama A&M has been a program that has struggled. Is that understating
Yeah, this
in
is a.
recent years?
Well, honestly, Alcorn has as well. They came out of nowhere late with a late season run to win the conference regular season title, guaranteeing themselves at least an NIT bid. And now they get to go up against the perennial power Texas Southern tomorrow. I'm going with history. I'm going with the Tigers, though.
Me too. Me too.
Okay. Well, we agreed. That's no good.
Yeah.
What do you think about what happened in the WAC tonight? This was a pair of games, New Mexico State, Grand Canyon, and a pretty good finish between Abilene Christian and Seattle.
Yeah, Abilene Christian, I guess we'll start with the last one. A rather unspectacular year after winning the Southland last year and winning an NCAA tournament game. They lost a lot, weren't really good, but they've looked good in this tournament. Beat a pretty decent Utah Valley team, got by Stephen F. Austin rather handily in the night, knocked out Seattle, who had tied for the regular season championship. I kind of hate it as a fan to see it come to an end for Seattle U. They have a basketball history, but it's rather ancient. No real history or culture to speak of in recent years until this year. I mean that student body was jacked. That little building they play in, it was so much fun watching them, especially in the latter half of the season. And God, it would have been great to see them make the NCAA tournament. But
So it's kind of funny. We have a game tomorrow between two teams that both won auto bids last year. Only one of them is going to get one this year. New Mexico State and Abilene Christian. Did New Mexico State
No,
get the
Grand
big
Canyon
Grand
won it
Canyon? I'm
last.
sorry, Grand Canyon won the last
Yeah,
year. You're right.
Grand Canyon, just to rub salt in the wounds, thanks to the old team of the people there, not getting the win tonight, though.
They felt New Mexico State was a pretty good game there. But we got New Mexico State, Abilene Christian. Abilene Christian has already won three games in 3 days. As a six seed in a 10-team tournament, you normally get normally means you're the champion. They have one more because of this crazy ladder format. They get New Mexico State tomorrow. I think Abilene Christian is going to run out of gas. I think New Mexico State cruises actually this game.
Yeah, I agree.
It was that's it for all the semifinals that were played today. There were quarterfinals played today, though, also in the Big Ten.
Big news here.
First of all, let's start with Indiana. Huge upset over Illinois to almost put them into the NCAA tournament, I would
Yeah,
say.
they didn't need the auto bid. They weren't that far out. They were actually close enough to the bubble to reach it with, to reach out and touch it. But big win against Illinois. When you beat a protected seed on a neutral floor, your profile looks way, way, way better than what it
And
did
re
before you
really,
did that.
Illinois played pretty lousy. They had a bad turnover late that cost them a chance to tie the game. I think that Illinois did not look good. Indiana got enough done. They get to play Iowa tomorrow, who just kind of ran over Rutgers, and he's going to have my
Yeah.
Scarlet Knights sweating out Selection Sunday, I think.
Yeah, I think a win for Rutgers would have put them in. I still think the committee will take them, but you know, it's going to be close. And then on to the evening session.
Yeah, the evening session, Michigan State, a real good game, but they found a way to beat Wisconsin, and Purdue held off a late run by Penn State to win that game and eliminate the Nittany Lion, Nittany
Yeah,
Lions
Penn,
there.
Penn State had a lead in that game late in the second half. I don't know where that was all year long, but good showing in this tournament for Penn State. If they played like that during the regular season, we'd be talking about them right now.
Well, that means that Rutgers' win over Penn State in the regular season finale is even worth more, right?
Yeah, sure.
Indiana, Iowa, Michigan State, Purdue not playing for – well, I guess if there's any doubt left with Indiana, a win tomorrow will lock it up for them.
Yeah, absolutely lock it in. And I think they can do it. You know, they look pretty good today, albeit against an Illinois team that did not look good.
Michigan State, Purdue could be good if or it could be a blowout by Purdue, one or the other.
Yeah. Michigan State starting to play like it's March. They're taking their assumed positions as a 7 seed on their way to the Final Four.
SEC, you want to talk news here. How about Texas A&M, who they won by 5 over Auburn. They were up huge in this game.
Yeah.
Then they found they got what they needed at the end after Auburn really tried to get back in this game. I thought Auburn was going to catch them. Quinn Jackson had a great game though for A&M, and they found a way to win this. And they go up against Arkansas, who real kind of ran LSU out of the building.
Yeah, so a tough match tomorrow between two Southwest Conference teams that now play in the Southeast, Texas A&M and Arkansas. But I like this A&M team. I know you know that. I think the audience knows that. I didn't really start to warm up to them until about a week or two ago. But this is a really good profile. I think they've done as much or more than a lot of the bubble teams. I know a lot of prognosticators are not putting them in. I know you're about to pull them up here, but look at this. And you got to keep in mind, we're not arguing that they're going to get a protected seed, but when you compare them to other bubble teams, like it tops out pretty high. Auburn neutral floor at Alabama, who's really a home court hero. Notre Dame, who's on the bubble. Florida, who's on the bubble. Both those wins on a neutral floor. And yeah, they do have some stuff that smells pretty bad, particularly losing at home to Missouri. But everybody on the bubble does, and there is way more good there than bad, and look at how well they've been playing.
Yeah, I think that I got them up there against Oklahoma, for example. I think I like what Oklahoma has done on the good side better, but
yeah.
What A&M has is that 22-11 overall record versus 18-15.
Right.
There are cases to be made on both these teams. I think A&M is still going to be sweating things out if they cannot win tomorrow, but they get Arkansas tomorrow. If they win that game completely, I think at this point it's going to be almost impossible to leave this A&M team out.
Yeah, and Uncle Buzz doing a good job this year.
Tennessee just rolled over Mississippi State. Kentucky got all they could handle, though, from Vanderbilt in the late game tonight.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, I actually want to give props to Vanderbilt. Kentucky did not play well. They didn't look motivated. They were probably looking ahead, and sometimes it's kind of hard to get mentally psyched for the quarterfinal when you're looking ahead to the tournament. But good effort by Vandy, and you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, both these games are going to be fun litmus tests. And in the sake of the first one, A&M, like you mentioned earlier, tournament implications in a big way.
Yep. Kentucky, Tennessee should be a real good game
yeah.
as well, like you mentioned. Atlantic 10, it was quarterfinal round day. Davidson has been, I don't know certain how many years they have been in the A10 now. Was about like 8, 9 years, 10 years.
Yeah, something.
Whatever it is, they've been in the semifinals every year, and they kept that streak going. They always make the semifinals, at least of the A10 tournament.
Yeah.
They get a team that pulled off an upset here, maybe a fairly mild upset, depending on how you look at it, but a couple made free throws at the end. I'm sorry, a couple missed free throws by Kyle Lofton for St. Bonaventure, who's an 80% shooter, got
missed
fouled with just seconds left in the game, missed them both, and St. Louis, the Billikens, advanced to play Davidson tomorrow.
Yeah, kind of a wild ending, at least like mentally, because at that point when Lawton goes to the line, your brain is like, okay, he's going to hit them both. And does, you know, St. Louis, are they going to have enough time to get a shot off down the stretch? And then he missed the first one, and it's like, oh, wow, okay. And then he missed the second one, and Slew came up with it. St. Bonaventure, nowhere near the bubble. Kind of a disappointment this year. I like this program. I think it's a unique college basketball program and school based on where it's at, the passion of the fan base. They really should have been better this year. They really should have been a top 25 caliber team this year. And here they are missing the dance altogether.
In the evening session of the late game, first of all, Richmond actually led VCU, who was right squarely on the bubble in most people's opinions, probably saw their bubble burst today with what they did, just not really showing up against their in-city rival there and losing to Richmond. I think that VCU is in a lot of trouble now. They could still sneak in, but I think it would be a surprise. Dayton, another team on the bubble, got down big to UMass. And then there's a little bit of a taunting call, Griggs.
So UMass was in control and Dayton was asleep. Like, I don't even know if they knew the game had started. UMass hits a three to go up 10 or 11 or whatever it is, taunts the bench, but does so right in the line of vision of the referee who tees him up. That woke Dayton up. They went on a run to close the gap real quick. But from that point on, it was nip and tuck. Dayton had all kinds of problems with the UMass team that really isn't very good.
Well, this Dayton team now gets Richmond, absolute must win tomorrow, I think, for their bubble chances. But it becomes interesting if they play Davidson in the finals and lose that. I think there's an argument there that Dayton should be going to Dayton in the first four, which is allowed.
There absolutely is an argument. I don't know if the committee will take them or not. I came in kind of thinking Dayton needed to win this tournament in order to feel safe, but feeling like they were good enough to do it. Richmond, a rather unspectacular year, another team that we thought was going to be really good or at least tournament good and didn't show it for at least for most of the season, but they showed it today.
Yeah, I think we could be in for a good game there. I think Davidson's going to take care of St. Louis, but I think the Dayton-Richmond game could be a good one tomorrow.
Yeah.
It would not shock me if Richmond is in the finals. Honestly,
it wouldn't shock me if Richmond won, really. Exactly. I mean, this is kind of a wide-open finish. And there is the possibility, and if they do, I don't know how they're going to handle this in terms of security and crowd control of a third Arch Barron Cup.
The Arch Barron Cup between Dayton and St. Louis. It is possible in the championship game. Would take an upset there by Slew. The American, it was quarterfinal round day. And Houston, for the first 30 minutes of this game against Cincinnati, just didn't bother even showing up to the game. Cincinnati was rolling through this thing. Then Houston suddenly came alive and next thing you know, they were up 10 points and roll into the quarterfinals. Tulane took care. Temple, SMU, Memphis, nobody really had to struggle here at the end of the day.
Going to
the semifinals.
And SMU, right now it looks like we'll update this here in a second. It looks like Memphis is bubble but in, SMU bubble but out. I don't know if tomorrow's results flips that. I don't think it really does. But like if SMU wins tomorrow, you suddenly start to look at your profile and you think, this is a team that is very close.
Yeah. I think if you don't think Memphis is in already, they definitely need this game. I think Memphis can still get in with losing this one. SMU has to win this game.
I agree. Okay. And Tulane has to win their game.
Tulane has to win two more games.
And then the first four.
That was it for the games that were played today. We are going back to a conference tomorrow that we haven't seen for a couple days. It is championship day, 11 a.m. in the America East. UMBC is going to Vermont. I would tune in at 11 a.m. because by about 11:15, Vermont's going to be up so many points, this game's going to be over.
Yeah, you want to see this from the beginning when it's actually close. Vermont blows them to Kingdom Come, I think.
Although I do remember UMBC upsetting Vermont in the same game a few years back.
Yeah, which was really unfortunate because like this year, that Vermont team was really good, probably going to be a 13 seed, was good enough to win a game in the round of 64. UMBC, as they would be this year, would end up on the 16 line, and it would just be a waste.
Yeah, they had to play Virginia. And
Yeah,
we all know what happened after that. Yeah. One of the greatest upsets in history. We have one other conference to discuss. It is the only conference, the only four teams we have not yet discussed in championship week. The last conference get things going. It is Ivy Madness Day 1. Believe it or not, we're the day before Selection Sunday tomorrow. We still have a conference that hasn't started play. We have semifinal day, Princeton, Cornell, Yale, Penn. What do you think about these two games?
I think it's going to be Princeton and Yale. It's kind of crazy. Princeton done a favor that Harvard did not sneak into that four spot, which would have forced them to play a virtual road game. I've been on Princeton all year, and I'm not going to change it now. I think they take the auto bid.
I've been on Yale all year. I'm going for the Yale to win both tomorrow and then beat Princeton in the finals. I don't think Cornell has a shot. I think the Yale-Penn game could be a fun one.
Yeah, I think Yale-Penn will be good. We know who John Tytel's rooting for, but he's in bed.
Let's go over to what's next, our survival board.
Yes, the survival board.
This is our NCAA tournament survival board as it was heading into the day today. This is a tool we do for the selection committee. We have teams put into various different categories here, colors and the like. Right. In fact, there's a legend up here telling you what it is. So it tells you, for example, blue teams are lock. That means a team that is in blue is in no matter what, correct?
Yeah, in no matter what. So the committee knows that they come to this site, and when they see a blue team, they select them.
Automatic bid winners, it says they're listed in bold all caps. Carver Bible is a lock.
What?
Says Carver Bible is a lock. Then we get the green teams. The green teams are under consideration.
That's interesting.
Those are teams that even if they don't win an automatic bid or they haven't won one yet, they should be under consideration. It's a team that the committee should be debating, correct?
Yes, they need to consider those.
Okay. Carver Bible is not under consideration, says there, because they are a lock.
Yeah, you wouldn't that's odd. We might need to look into that.
Okay. What about teams that are just regular type? These are auto bid only teams. They can only make the tournament via an auto bid. All automatic bids belong to Carver Bible. Okay.
Well, that opens up more at large. Well, the bubble is certainly a little more wide open now.
The eliminated teams. This team cannot make the NCAA tournament. This includes teams that are ineligible, as well as those that were eliminated from their contention, and they just cannot. We do not feel they can get an at large bid. Carver Bible shall never be eliminated.
Well, we would have no trouble getting their entire student body to the game.
That's true. A lot of seats to spare. So the selection committee can come down here, look at these teams, figure out whether or not they should be considered them or not, correct?
Yes, that's essentially the whole idea. And, you know, they have the internet in the room. They can come to this site, and it works as a guide as they go through the selection process.
As a result of today's games, can we get under 100? Let's find out here. This is what happened. A little drum roll. Wow. 97 teams
97
left.
97 are left. All right, and Tulane is one of them. Congrats to Ron Hunter.
Yeah, Tulane is one of them. These are the 97 teams remaining. Northern Colorado is one of them. Long Beach State is one of them. This will drop to look a lot closer to 68 by tomorrow night, and we'll be at 68 close come Sunday night once the field is out. A few other things here. We had our mock committee meet today. There's an article on the website that you can read a little more detail about, but this is where our board is as of now. As you can see, we have a seed list. We have preliminary seeded, and these will change with scrubbing, but we have seeded 8 seed lines from Gonzaga all the way down to Seton Hall.
Yep.
Houston as an 8 seed. Very controversial. That's where I believe as well they belong.
Yeah, I don't know where the real committee's going to put them, but that's
have
them.
About 4 or 5, I think the real committee will have them.
Yeah.
We also voted 4 more teams into the field. Miami, Davidson, Memphis, and Indiana all did get into our field tonight. That we could still have up to, I believe, 6 more spots open up. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Rutgers, Texas A&M, and Wyoming are the next 3 teams potentially to go in, but they are not in yet. There's teams that we looked at as fairly close. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our rivalry creator.
Oh, yes, the rivalry creator.
Now, this is a service we do for people that want to know whether or not their teams are rivals.
Yeah, and like
Or they, what they do. Go ahead.
yeah,
Sorry.
it does two things. It identifies series that are already rivals, so you can look and see it, like right here, Kansas and Missouri, the border war.
And
And
you
it
check
has
some
a little
detail.
detail information. And those two schools just 8 miles apart, and they've never met in the NCAA tournament. That's pretty wild.
That is pretty wild. But we can have any teams. And we've had asked people to submit teams that they think should be rivals. And I've got a couple here that were submitted for tonight.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, let's check it out.
Okay. I was asked about Niagara, the Purple Eagles of Niagara.
Right out of the Metro Atlantic.
What if they played Hawaii, the Rainbow Warriors?
Man, that's a yeah.
I mean, that could be a rivalry here. Let's see what that is. It is the
The
Purple
Purple
Rain.
Ring game, yeah.
Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
It's the Purple Rain game, obviously. Okay. 8 miles apart, never been in the assembly tournament, by the way.
Man, that is, but I thought Hawaii was further off the coast of California than that.
I got another one. Actually, let's see what this is here. We've got Marist, the Red Foxes out of the Metro Atlantic.
Also out of the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, another Metro Atlantic. And what if they played UCLA, the Bruins?
Yeah, I mean, this could be a rivalry when you
this
look
could be
at
a
the
major one.
Yeah, this could be crazy.
Okay, the Marist Red Foxes against UCLA. This is, let's find out here, the Foxy Lady.
Oh, Foxy Lady.
Okay, there we go. Rivalry creator.
Is anybody still watching?
They shouldn't be. Why don't you go and give us a final thought so that we can get out of here?
It is very late. We're getting closer and closer to the selection Sunday. I think as you get more and more down towards the end, it's just more about the excitement of winning a conference championship, but not always. Like, Texas A&M needs to win tomorrow. Tulane's still playing for their lives. Dayton's still playing for their lives. There's still... tomorrow's going to just be another great day on the calendar.
I agree. It's going to be a fun day. Our final championship week video notebook is coming tomorrow night. But on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us.
Purple rain, purple rain.
Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow night.